Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Sans Pants Radio. Did you hear about the guy who invented lifesavers? They say he made a mint.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, you remember that Dracula pitch on Movie Maintenance? Well, we went and turned it into a play.
Starring me.
Well, no, look, Gabe's in the play.
Starring in the play.
Well, no, you're like the fourth, maybe fifth character. You have like one scene.
Two scenes, Carney. Two scenes. Maybe get your head out of your ass and read your own fucking play.
Dracula, Last Voyage of the Demeter opens April 13th. Tickets on sale now.
Starring me.
Welcome to Movie Maintenance, where some films just need fixing. I'm Elise.
I'm Handsome Tom.
And I'm Sean.
And this week, we're fixing Pride and Prejudice and zombies.
Why? Why, guys? It's perfect.
It's like we take something that's a classic and really good and we put zombies in it. So obviously, we're just making it better. It's like if you have a steak and you just have another steak with it. That's the equivalent of what this mathematical equation is asking. So how is it that we put two steaks together and we end up with just tofu bullshit?
No mushrooms, no nothing. All right, so I haven't read the book.
Yeah.
Either of the books. Clarify for me this. Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, I was under the assumption was like a bit of a comedy.
Yes.
Like a bit of a fun comedy. Because this movie is serious as fuck. They played it like proper serious. What happened? Is the book a comedy?
Yeah, so the book is, I'm not the original, but... I can't remember the
Pride and Prejudice
name.
Is a comedy.
Pride and Prejudice is like a comedy of manners. It's, I mean, yeah. It's mainly a romance, but it is meant
I
to
haven't
be.
Read it. I've seen like it's various adaptations with, what's his name?
Colin Firth.
Colin Firth. Yeah. Everyone's seen that. My sister has watched that, I reckon, 300 times. Unbelievable. So, all right, the original, you know, text has like, you know, elements of comedy in it. Like
yeah.
Social
yeah, it's comedy. Then, kind of it's comedy manners.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then the author who did the zombie spin-off version of it
Seth
was...
Seth Graham Smith?
Yeah, that's
the guy?
It, yeah.
Look at you doing your research, you fucking idiot.
No, I just remember from World War Z, it's the same dude, right?
No, it's not. World War Z's written by Max Brooks, who's Mel Brooks' kid.
Oh, different guy.
Yeah, no, different guy.
Didn't do my research.
Did not do your research. Look at you not doing your research, but almost doing your research.
So his book is a comedy.
Yeah, but what he does is because Pride and Prejudice is in the public domain, he can use all the same original text and then he just inserts bits
With zombies.
Of zombies.
Yeah, it's actually quite a clever exercise.
Yeah, and it was very successful when it came out. It was a big bestseller. I mean,
it kind of came out in the height of the zombie.
Well, that's the other thing. The book came out in the height of the zombie thing.
This film did not.
This film took forever to make, though. Like, I remember, like, Natalie Portman. Was
yeah, she
forever,
is.
Right?
And she's still listed as a producer, credit. Yeah.
Which she was going to star, though, wasn't she?
I think so.
And then
so.
What happened? Did it, like,
it just took too long.
In development hell for like 6 years, and she just went, I'm a little bit old for this now. Okay, so she's still the producer. Like, I remember, like, anytime I'd go on like a movie news website, it would be like, this director dropped out, and now this one did. And
who is the director of the one that they did do?
I don't know.
Someone shit?
Yeah.
Someone shit for brains, shitty director?
Probably.
Just want to say, the movie's shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is objectively bad, and I've watched it 3 times now.
Wow.
Because I don't know about you guys, but I was so excited for this film when it was coming out.
Can I say, though, if you've read the book and... I imagine you're a bit of... I'm not even going to imagine. I know for a fact that you're an Austin nerd, you weirdo.
Yes.
Not weirdo, that's rude. I'll take that back.
Nah, weirdo.
Oh, I'm offended.
Yeah, no, but you're an Austin dork.
Aficionado.
Yeah.
Not really, but I'm not a huge...
No, but...
I've read all the books,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, that's
that's enough.
That's enough. So I feel like putting zombies in it, you'd be on board with this 100%.
Yeah, I mean, I heard the concept, like, I knew it was coming as a film. Like, just even the visuals, I was like, this... I'm so down for this. I love the idea of these two genres mixing together. And so when I went to the movies to go see it, probably like the first week that it came out, and I was just so disappointed. And then I watched it a second time on the plane. Just
why?
Because I was like,
was I wrong? I'll give it another go.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't that. Maybe it had bits about it.
I do hate myself. Play.
That's the thing. Like, when you're on planes, you always watch shit films.
I try.
That's when I watch shit films.
I watched one whole season of The Flash once on a flight back from LA.
So presumably the third time you watched it was in preparation for this.
Yes. Okay, yeah.
Well, that's, you get a pass.
I've watched it twice.
Yeah.
One in preparation for this, and the first time. So when you were like, hey, watch this for this, I was like, okay. I was like, it wasn't that bad. And then I tried to remember stuff that happened, and I was like, I remember nothing of my initial watch of this film.
Yeah.
That's not a good sign going in. And then I rewatched it and I was like, oh, Charles Dance is in this movie. And then 20 minutes in, I was like, Sam Riley can jump off a cliff.
Yeah. I watched it last night and I've forgotten the majority of it already.
Matt Smith's in it. He's good.
Matt Smith is the best part.
There's some decent
Charles
Dance
and Matt Smith could be the only people in the film and it would be fine.
Lena Headey's in it with an eye patch.
Yeah, Lena Headey is
You'll have to fill me in on that.
Garbage.
Because at some point I was like, why are you in this?
I wish that she had more of a role, and I'm guessing it's because like her character that she's playing doesn't have that much. But
who was she?
I feel like she's Lady Catherine de Bourgh.
She ended up being like top dog at the end.
Yeah, but not really.
Yeah.
She's basically sitting on the throne.
That's just her place, I think.
She's basically in the original Pride and Prejudice. She's just a rich old bitch who's like fronted
Don't
up.
Don't marry Darcy. Yeah.
Darcy has to marry. Basically, daughter. She's a plot device. She exists so that Darcy can't marry Elizabeth, but also so that the fucking reverend douchebag guy has a patron. She's his patron as well.
So, what relation was she to Darcy?
Yeah, I think it's his aunt. Okay. You know, back
and she has a simple daughter.
If you marry your cousin.
Okay. I mean.
But I thought she was so ridiculous that, like, that I wanted. More of that. I feel like she was so campy.
That stupid bit where she comes to the house and has that fight with Elizabeth for no reason at all. And you're like, okay. And then she's like, no. You can marry Darcy because you're pretty good with a sword. I have one eye. Eh.
What was the one eye thing? Is that just because she's like a great warrior or something? Yeah. I think they mentioned that at the start.
Yeah.
Lena Headey's not a great actress.
She's been in very questionable films.
I watched. Gabe sat in for a bit of this last night when I was watching it. And we were talking about Lena Headey. And about how the fact that a lot of Game of Thrones people seem to be in this thing. When she has good writing, which she sometimes has in Game of Thrones, she's quite good.
She's quite good.
But anything less than that, and she really struggles.
Maybe she's good in Dread.
Have you seen Dread?
I love some Dread.
She's quite good in
Dread.
She's
good in that. Honestly, I don't know what her character was fucking doing in the movie.
And that's a problem.
Yeah.
Like, I had to explain it to you, and I'm impressed that I remember. But I only know what I only know what her character does because of Pride and Prejudice, not because of Pride and Prejudice and zombies. Just while we're talking about characters, so Wickham, at no point in the film was I like, "Nah, Wickham's a bad guy." Like I knew he's a bad guy. You know he's not the guy because he's the wrong guy. That's the whole point of his character. But at no point was I like. Wickham, you shouldn't be doing what you're doing. I 100% sympathise with him, even when I wasn't supposed to. I still was like, he's doing a good thing.
Yes,
you're
that was
all cunts.
No, I agree.
That was part of my criticism of this film, is that introducing their zombie plotline and having him be, I don't know, zombie king at the end. But his whole idea of when he's trying to pitch to them, like, you know, we need to start working with them. They're not all bad.
He was so reasonable.
Yeah, it was like,
it was like if Hitler was like a bit more chill and was like, we're not going to kill the Jews. We've just got to, you know what? We've actually got to be nicer to the Jews. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree.
Can I ask though, guys? Is can I ask? Is there an element of this where it's like Darcy was such a shit and like devoid of any charisma at all that we actually side with the other guy?
Well, yes, yeah, that's my main criticism of this whole film, because I think enjoyed this more than you guys, because I think the ending is really the one that needs the most fixing. But my main criticism is the casting of this film, especially all the. Basically all the men in this film, but Darcy, Sam Riley is the worst Darcy I've ever seen on screen. It was so bad.
I don't understand how any, like, okay, I get the point that, so the point of Darcy is he has to be an asshole to start with, but there's still like parts of him that are like nice. He's just,
he's a piece of shit.
There is no part of me that's like, oh no, look, I can see. He doesn't redeem himself at all. He's a piece of shit.
Yeah, he's garbage. And then like you get to the end and he tells her, oh, I'm in love with you or whatever. And I'm like, where did that come from?
Yeah.
I zoned out a little bit throughout the film. And at one point I kind of like,
that fight.
I kind of like snapped back in.
The fight that involves him like popping your tits out a little bit.
Yeah, because I remember commenting when we were watching it, and I was like, because she like ripped his shirt or something. Yeah. I was like, oh, you can't be doing sexist garbage like that. And then the very next scene, he like pops her tits out with his fucking sword or whatever. And that sentence just sounds very weird.
Pops her tits out with his sword.
So your problems with the casting, mine is like, first problem's the script. Like, it's just shit.
It's a weak script.
It's a dog shit script.
It's a dog shit script that's also edited and cut really weird.
Oh, the editing is very bizarre.
There's that whole bit where Elizabeth is doing something or learns of something, and then rather than going to do it, we get the scene where she explains what she's going to go and do, and it's like, we don't need to see that. She's just done that.
The quickest fix of this movie is just make it like absurd and fun. They went serious, and it's just like, it's boring to watch. It's dreary.
There are moments where it almost is like, so Matt Smith's whole character is hilarious.
Yeah.
But there are even moments like that whole scene where they think the sister's been bitten and he gets the flies out and she catches them all. Mm. That's comedy.
Yeah.
Don't play everything else. Don't do weird bits of comedy, but make it serious.
Yeah, even in the first scene, you know how that girl walks upstairs and goes in the room and then the zombie girl turns around and like she has that like
the booger.
Booger coming out, and then the bubble pops and it's like, that belongs in like a zany, absurd zombie comedy, and then the rest, like the majority of the film, is just quite serious.
The problem of trying to mesh two genres together is that it's very hard to get the tone right, because you end up kind of compromising on both sides so that neither, if you're going in for a romance, the romance is not there because Sam Riley's a piece of shit.
I don't think it's that hard to actually approach this project and be like, let's make it ridiculous and fun.
No, and that's what it should be. I don't imagine Seth Graham Smith was trying to win a Nobel Prize.
No.
He was like, I'm going to make people laugh by putting zombies in like classic literature. What it needed to do, like it sets up that it's going to be absurd with that whole puppet opening where Charles Dance, like that's cool. Keep that. But like, it's just, I want to just go into defense of, if you put horror in something and you want to make it funny still, I think horror lends itself to comedy really well. So you look at Zombieland, which has some generally frightful moments.
That's the tone this needed.
Exactly. Yes. But overall, it's, you know, I'm looking at an Ash versus Evil Dead poster. There is the perfect example of horror and comedy. Horror lends itself so well to slapstick because it's all physicality.
Yeah.
That would have been so just hilariously funny.
And the premise is absurd. Go with that. Like,
that's what I love.
Zombieland's a good point. It should have just been Pride and Prejudice meets Zombieland.
Yes.
And that's the film. Like,
done.
What the fuck?
Pride and Prejudice in itself is inherently tongue in cheek.
Can I comment on the fact that
stretch too far to tongue in cheek, poking out the other side because you've got a hole in your face. Land.
The characters are dumb too. And when they're that dumb, I just can't get on board. There are so many scenes of them being like, oh, we spent a lot of time doing the choreography and the fights to make them look cool. Let's have them like using their swords and chopping arms off and stuff. It's a zombie. Destroy the fucking head. Just destroy the head and get on with it. Fuck this nonsense.
Remember
that scene? I bet you loved that shot, didn't you? Where the five of them or whatever walking in the V formation and slow motion. It's like, oh,
love that scene.
That's when I rolled my eyes and went, fuck this trash bag of a movie.
I love that bit.
To death of it.
That was going to be my thing. It's like, I loved all the bits when they were getting ready for the ball. So that juxtaposition
that was cool.
of
yeah,
them.
That was fun.
all in their dresses and then like sliding in their knives and sliding in their daggers. Like, that's, I wanted more of that.
That's where it had to sit, in that wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Instead it didn't.
Okay, do you want to hear? I came up with a cut. You love casting, Tom. So I came up with some casting ideas.
You know how to just get me on board. I'm on board with whatever you're going to do to this film now.
All right, so Darcy. I've got three names, so and you can chuck in some more. I was thinking, have you guys ever seen Aidan Turner?
Yeah. Yeah, from The Hobbit?
Yeah, The Hobbit. Very handsome. Also in Poldark. He's very good at that.
So is his acting
good?
Can
I say he's brooding? Yeah. He could pull brooding.
I feel like that's what I'm looking for. I felt like Sam Riley could just pull off the arsehole. But not
Sam Riley looks like an emo kid who's accidentally walked into a Victorian era.
Yeah,
like he got
and his voice. Like he got angry. Dropped a tone. It's like a Batman voice.
I'm Sam Riley. I'm going to ask you to marry me, but first zombies.
Gabe said he was really like channeling Littlefinger from Game of Thrones. Like he didn't go mega Irish or anything, but it was just that aspect of his voice.
Yes,
hello.
That.
Yes. I think Aidan Turner is the right one, but other one was James McAvoy or Theo James.
What's he from? Is he from Divergent?
Yeah, but he is British.
Yeah, so do you know
Theo James could play? He could be Bingley.
Nah, he's got asshole.
Yeah, he could also
he could
be
play
Wickham.
Yes, actually, yeah, no, he could play Wickham.
As well.
I don't think you go McAvoy's too old. No offense to McAvoy, but he is. I love McAvoy. So let's go Aidan Turner.
Aidan Turner, yes.
And Wickham is
Aidan Turner, like, immediately has a bit of charisma.
Yes.
Well, he walks into a room, and even though he's brooding, like,
you're attracted to
I've taken my pants off already.
Yeah.
And then Bingley, which is kind of like the sweet guy, I had either Ben Whishaw or...
Ben Whishaw could play the Reverend.
Yes. Sam Claflin.
Let's go Sam Claflin.
Because he's a bit more handsome. He's got more...
Is that the dude from Hunger Games?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm inclined to go the Whishaw because he's a good actor.
No, Whishaw. He's too old again. Literally, Bingley doesn't have to be a good actor. He just has to be pretty. That's the whole point of Bingley. He's not very smart and good looking.
He's such a piece of shit. What does she see in him?
I know, because
remember that bit where he gets like his scarf or whatever caught when he goes and drops a grenade in or something, and then one of them grabs it and she saves him, and he's such a dipshit.
And she's so capable.
Yeah. And then she sees him, she's like, oh, and she's just in love, and it's like he's a fucking idiot.
He looked weirdly like a vampire. Do you think he was quite pale? And I couldn't tell if it was makeup or not.
He looked like he was about to like just turn around and be like, I've been 16 for 100 years.
I say it
out loud. You're Bingley. Okay. Okay then.
All right. And what are you doing with
the Bennets?
With Lizzie? Because I'd keep her.
Yeah, I think Lily James.
Yeah, she's great.
Good.
Yeah. It's the men unit recasting.
It's the men that just.
It's mainly the three main men.
She was the best thing the film had going for it.
Matt Smith and Charles Dance.
Yeah. Fuck Charles Dance.
No,
man.
Fuck you, Charles Dance.
On autopilot. Come on.
Yes.
You can take out that bullshit narration crap at the start.
Can I say?
Give me a spell. I don't need.
Can I say
exposition doled out with a puppet show?
Oof.
Garbage. Garbage.
Mate, can I say?
Tell it through the story.
Charles Dance on autopilot. It's better than you on your best day, mate.
That's an unfair comparison.
It's not an untrue comparison.
Are you keeping Charles Dance?
Yeah, I'm keeping.
All right,
keeping
why not?
Just because of his voice.
He's only in it for a few scenes.
Yeah, right.
Fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so, like, my like one big fix would be to cut out the zombie salvation plotline because
it makes Wickham too sympathetic for a start.
Too sympathetic, and also makes Wickham too much of a big mastermind character. Like, Wickham is actually just kind of a small-time crook.
Sure.
Mm. He doesn't get that big.
No, and even when... This is the thing I found out in the film. Like, so knowing about what Wickham's backstory, when Darcy explains what Wickham's done to him, I'm still like, yeah, I don't believe you. I'm more likely to believe the guy who looks a bit like Taika Waititi. And that was my other problem, is I couldn't not see his character from what we do in the shadows. Just because they look very similar. And he had a frilly collar as well. While we're on Wickham, before we keep going, sorry, you want to talk about the bullshit sting at the end.
Mate.
Where he has a hand made of...
Well, no, just the fact that, all right, cool, happy ending, great, credits roll, and then we come back in, and it's like zombie horde charging them.
Yeah.
There's only like four of them in there. They're fucking dead.
Well, there's more than four zombies coming.
No.
It's like, but Lizzie, there's all of what's her name's army.
They're in like the safest place.
There's Lena Headey's army.
No, I agree. There's a whole army in there.
Yeah,
that's
black
shit.
The
like,
black
what
coats.
Is that? Is that them being like, hang around, you know, 2 years from now, we're going to show you this fight that's about to happen? Gives a shit.
Guess what? They're not doing a sequel because the film was probably box office bullshit.
Oh, yeah, it didn't do well.
It didn't do well at all?
No. Good. But yeah, I hated that scene that they got married on the same day. I thought it was really kind of creepy.
People getting married on the same day is always a weird thing for me.
I think it's weird.
Me and my best friend got married on the same day.
Double weddings are a thing.
No, can I say there is an entire movie dedicated to how they're not called Bridal Wars with Anne Hathaway and Kate Hudson in it. So we know in cinematic universes, it's not always okay.
But I think it's stupid because you don't do a sequel to Pride and Prejudice. That is a self-contained story.
Yeah, you prejudice harder. That's...
Who do you think you are to write a sequel to Pride and Prejudice?
Even if you do your little genre.
He did one though, didn't he? Sam, he did a small novella about them having kids.
If the intention was to make a franchise, pick a Darcy that's not a piece of fucking shit who I hate. He's just garbage from the first scene.
Totally agree.
Well, that's why we've cast him. Stop rehashing over old ground.
We've got Aidan Turner. Good. Jolly good. Did you cast anybody else?
I mean, well, no, the other characters, you can swap out
Lena Headey, but who gives a shit because their character's insignificant.
Well, no, let's put someone in who could just make it fucking Dame Helen Mirren.
Whatever, yeah. Hayley Atwell, yeah. Someone like that. Rachel Weisz.
Nah.
No.
Hayley Atwell would be cool, but again.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Irrelevant.
Sorry.
Were we talking about the proposal scene?
Well, Sean,
I actually quite
missed it.
Like the proposal scene.
Was this the fight
scene? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I think
I don't know why there's gratuitous tit in it. Like, what's the point of him, like, flip? Because I thought if they're going to do that, right, what's going to happen is they're going to walk in and old reverend guy's going to assume that they're fucked. But then that wasn't even a thing. No. It was just like, we needed to see Lily James's boobs.
Reverend
Lily
came in, didn't he, and looked at something and went, oh, no, that was an antique.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. That was, but if you're going to have them look like.
You know what was hilarious is just before the stupid stinger at the end, so just that final scene when they're, like, walking out after the wedding or whatever, and then, like, one of the guests. Just this is the last line of dialogue in the movie. He's just like, "I'm having so much fun." Like, so am I watching the fucking room?
Wedding guest 3. I'm having so much fun.
So he proposed, and then they had like just a lame fight scene.
I like the fight scene because it's kind of what it's meant to be. Is showing how much chemistry they have, you know, in theory. And now we've got Aidan Turner, so it's like I like it because it's kind of mentally. Lizzie hasn't decided that she loves him. But you do this fight scene and then you see that they actually have chemistry together.
So is that supposed to be the point of the story where we go, oh, she likes him?
Sort of.
Because that didn't come across at all in the film.
Well, no, that's Sam Riley's fault.
Yeah.
Because what you need to do is that fight doesn't end in the way that I wanted it to end. Yes, they end up on top of one another at one point.
Yes, where it's like, oh.
But they literally, that needs to like hold until someone walks in, I feel. Like that needs to be like, like lips are this far away and it's like,
we're
going to bang. And then maid comes in, oh, la, da, 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 da. And then Reverend bloke can come in.
Rather than him just being like, well, I'm out of here.
Do you like the fight scenes? Because they often do, in Pride and Prejudice, the fight scenes are often just like conversation showing how sharp people's wit is. But in here, they just do them in fight scenes. So there's a whole argument that Lizzie has with the other Bennett.
Jane. Yeah.
That's a fight scene.
Training or whatever. Yeah.
While they're training, there's the fight scene with her and Lena Headey, which is not a conversation. It's a fight with that big guy.
Yeah, I don't know what the big guy, why was he there? I would prefer if it was just Lena Headey and...
Yeah, that would make sense. If she's a capable kick-ass warrior.
They talked her up. I wanted to see her kind of in action.
Yeah,
bloody Lurtz getting bricked in the head.
Yeah, it really was.
He copped a bricking. He's dead, let's be clear.
She killed an innocent man.
Yeah, she... Well...
No.
He choked her against a wall.
But only because he was acting under orders.
That's true.
She just did that. She didn't have to kill him.
He didn't have to follow the orders of an eye patch wearer, though.
Well, that was his decision. If Lena Headey gave you that look, you'd do it.
Probably would.
The one-eyed look.
The one-eyed
look.
The one-eyed stare. Yeah.
Do you think that if this film had not, because this is PG-13, it had been an R film, do you think it could have been better? Or
I don't feel like the violence suffered because of like.
Yeah. It's got to be, you've actually.
It was quite violent.
It needed to be goofier.
Yeah.
It needed to lean more to its PG-13 than into where it was going, which was.
The violence was pretty. Not full on, but like
it's full on, but they just don't have any blood.
We weren't watching Logan or anything, but like, you know, they were chopping heads off. It's fine. You can get away with a lot when it's like a zombie or something.
Yeah.
Or in Lord of the Rings when it's an orc, you can chop a head off.
Yeah.
And get away with it.
Do you reckon they go through it like the ratings classification? People are like, inhuman. Oh, no, that's a little girl. No, that's an R rating.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the hell they do.
Maybe. I don't know why I say little girl. That's weird. We can continue.
It took a turn.
An Aidan turn? No.
So what's this film supposed to be?
So I think when the wheels really start falling off is in the third act, because that's when it gets the furthest away from the source material.
Sure.
For me. So like the whole zombie
thing in London or whatever.
Yeah. I feel like you
what's
were saying
the point
saying
behind
in
that? Like,
I think they were just like, oh, we need to have a big climax. Cool.
There's like a big action scene in London, and then they kind of they win that battle, and then it's like everything's great. It's like, we did it. We defeated the zombies, but aren't they just everywhere?
Yeah, that's why I feel like...
So then they had a wedding, and then it was like, yeah, happy ending. And then you get the sting at the end. It's like, yeah, the zombies are still around. I don't understand the point of this thing. What did they win?
I think...
they won the game of love.
The game of love, 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 la, 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 la. Sorry.
In your, I think it was your X-Men pitch, you were talking about how studios keep thinking that every ending of a film needs to be saving the world, the end of the world.
Yeah.
And like this film didn't need to be. Like Pride and Prejudice is actually quite a self-contained, very small
it's about
story.
It's about characters. And this film tried to be like, let's have this big battle in London that's like, we need to like save the world and save everybody. And it just jarred.
And
like,
because the film is before planes exist, really, they can't have an air battle because that's what they would have done. They would have just like lifted London up and the whole fight would have been in the air. Oh, man. And Elizabeth Bennet would have realized she's a Jedi all along.
That's a film I'd watch.
You know what that is? That next.
Pride and Prejudice and Star Wars.
That's where it's going.
Oh, man.
If I, like, my version of it would be to try and go bit back more to the original source material. And I think I kind of feel a slight bit of sympathy for them because as I was trying to think of, okay, how would I fix this for the ending? The ending in the book is that Lydia runs off with Wickham. Family finds out and it's like big scandal because she's not married. And so Darcy saves her essentially, brings her back, makes sure they get married so that their good name is saved. Sure. And then that's kind of when, you know, Lizzie's like, oh, actually.
You're not a complete asshole.
Yeah. And then he kind of comes back and is like, oh, my feelings haven't changed. Yep. And she's like, I love you. Let's get married. So, but her, like, it's not very active for her. She actually just kind of stays at home.
Sort of
almost.
Watches everything unfold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is she the protagonist in the book?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Which is kind of interesting, but I guess you can kind of get away with that more in a book where you're not being active in what's the plot's actually happening.
Yeah. Because you can get internal monologues, all that kind of fun stuff.
Yeah. And it is really more about characters, about her emotions changing. So if I was going to fix this, I would have it so that Wickham and Lydia, they run away together.
Can we set up Wickham and Lydia being a thing earlier too? Because in the film, they do not.
Yeah, you're right.
Just say we've done that.
Yeah, so we've set them up.
Is Lydia the pretty sister? Or
no, pretty, Jane's, well, Jane's the pretty
Jane's
sister.
Jane's the prettiest. Lydia's just like the dumb, ditzy one.
What happened, to Jane in the film? Wasn't Jane with Wickham?
Jane
was with Bingley.
Oh, Bingley, sorry. I'm getting confused with Bingley and Wickham. Carry on.
Bingley, pretty. Wickham, arsehole.
Cool. Gotcha.
Yeah. Theo James and Sam
Claflin. So I'd have it so that Wickham and Lydia run away together.
Yep.
And if you felt like the film needed more of a villain, you could have Wickham. He kind of has ulterior motives for this. Set up Wickham so that he's actually, if we're removing the zombie salvation plotline, but we still, obviously, zombies still need to be a part of it. But I don't want them to be smart. Like, zombies are kind of, they're still the dumb.
They're just there.
Do we need them to be able to talk like they do in the movie?
Nah, I don't
think. Fuck that off, I reckon.
I don't need that.
Yeah.
But I want, so Darcy's job is still the same, is that he's going around, like, killing zombies and people who have been infected. So we have Wickham and he's actually going to be the one kind of, he's infecting people as trying to get revenge back on Darcy for ruining his career, his life. So like the scene at the
he hasn't eaten human flesh yet.
No, he's not a zombie. But he
carries
just
the virus.
Yeah, or like he's infecting people. How are you?
Maybe because it's a bite, isn't it? So maybe he's got a zombie, right? Mm. And he just like, he lures zombies to like parties, right? And just lets the zombie loose, and the zombie attacks people, and then
he spreads the plague.
He doesn't have to actively be poisoning people. No. He should just be like, because that's what chaos. I thought the plot was of what he was going to be doing, was that he was the one who was bringing zombies to all the parties, but no, they just happened to be there.
Yep.
Stupid.
No, I think he was. He was letting them in.
He's like the facilitator of the whole thing.
Yeah.
So again, his plan was not clear. Was he pro zombie, anti zombie? Middle zombie, guy with a club for a hand, who we'll never know. Because there won't be a sequel.
No.
Aw.
So if you have him, he's like infecting people, whatever. Then Lydia and Wickham run away together.
Yep.
And Darcy knows where they're going because it's the same place that Wickham took Darcy's younger sister to, Georgiana. I don't know if you caught that in the movie, but
they gloss over that very quickly.
But Wickham has previously tried to take Darcy's sister and marry her. So Darcy's like, I know where she is. I can go get her. But then to add stakes, Wickham and Lydia don't know, but the town that they're going to has actually been infected.
Yep.
They don't know it, but there's been like a dispatch that's come in saying like, no one go to this town, they're infected.
Yeah, yeah. They've breached a safe zone. There's too many in there. We've just quarantined the whole area.
Lydia and Wickham are heading for that. They don't know it. And so Darcy sets off to go stop them. Obviously, I'm going to then have Lizzie. She's not going to stay behind.
No, not this Lizzie.
So she follows after them. They probably have like a little fight on the road, trying to send each other back.
Yep.
But they're like, no.
What would be great? Are you saying like a physical fight? Because that would be hilarious if she just like kicked him off his horse and was like, go home.
Yeah.
And then they both lose their horses, so they have to walk.
They have to walk. Yeah. So I feel like they
that's
would.
That's good.
Yeah.
Or share one horse.
Walk.
Walk. Be funny. And then it's a running race.
Yeah, and then you can even have, I mean, because like this point in the film, Lizzie has got the letter from Darcy where she's realised, oh, I was prejudiced against him. He's actually kind of a good guy.
Well, see, that plot point, Darcy's still a cunt because he knows that, yes, Lizzie Bennet's mum is a psycho.
Yeah.
There might have to be a fair bit of bleeping in here. I think I've dropped the C-bomb twice. Yes, we know that Lizzie Bennet, Mrs. Bennet, is crazy and a social ladder climber, but Darcy is not an idiot. So this has always annoyed me, but Darcy should fundamentally know that Jane is not malicious in her intent towards Bingley. Mm. Like, Jane is lovely and Darcy knows this. He's like, oh, that mummy's crazy. I will punish everyone then. Darcy, no.
Bad plot.
Bad plan. Bad boy.
It's his pride.
Oh, his pride and her prejudice. Oh. Yeah, nah, fair. That was pretty good.
It is the themes of the movie are in the title.
Where's the theme of the zombie? I'm kidding. Yeah. I'm kidding.
The zombies don't come into it. So you could even have, apologize. There's a little, I feel like you need them to be a little more open to each other so that they're starting to build some trust because...
Do they, so they've lost their horses, they're on foot, and then, like, they get attacked by a group of zombies and they have to work together to fight the zombies.
That'd be good.
You stole the words out of my mouth.
She's full of shit, Tom.
So they want to get to the town, into this town, and I have it, like, it's dark, it's really quiet, no one's about, and I want them to even have, like, a little moment with each other where like she's kind of like, oh, you know, sorry, I was prejudiced. He's like, I'm sorry, I was had so much pride. And then
when there's so many zombies.
Exact dialogue.
That's the
zombies tacked on the end.
And then they like lean in a little bit closer. You think like, oh, this is it. They're about to kiss. And then like Lizzie would like grab his jacket to like pull him in closer for a kiss. But then actually she pulls him, chucks him off to the side and then just like gets her sword out and just slices a zombie's head.
Nice.
You know, and then...
It's all head cutting. None of this shin cutting bullshit.
Yeah, just none of that fucking garbage.
Cuts his head.
No wonder they weren't able to stop the plague. They're just cutting their thumbs off.
They've had all this training.
Oh, the zombies can't text or do thumbs up now. Oh, they won't be able to organise. Remember this way, guys. Oh, I've got no fingers. Anyway, sorry. Keep going.
No, but that's nice because that's a little moment that the film just doesn't really give them.
No.
They need these little moments because you get to the end and it's like, oh... You're in love. All right, fine.
Where was the evidence of that
at all in the film? So that's nice, a little moment like that.
So then the moment...
bit we talked about earlier, Tom, where it's like building up and you think they're going to kiss and then someone interrupts them. Well, someone in this case is the zombie.
Yeah. So getting back to the three words.
I love a good
interrupted film.
Kiss. Oh,
yeah. So like the moment's broken and then they hear a scream and it's Lydia screaming.
Cool.
So like they run around the corner, like swords out, guns blazing basically. And then... in like the center of the town is just like a massive, massive horde of zombies just like swarming. And Lydia Wickham are upstairs in their room and zombies are trying to break into their room. Yep. So Lydia's probably still like she's meant to be trained in the arts as well. She's fighting them off, but there's just so many of them. And so then this scene was being like, okay, this is where you
scream. Can the scream, we think it's Lydia. It's actually Wickham.
Yes, that's better.
She's like, oh, zombies.
Yes, because I think like... I want Wickham to be kind of useless. He doesn't actually, even though he's in the army and stuff, he's just like wears the uniform for show. I don't think he has any actual
skills. I think he's a bit like, I'm trying to think of like he's a bit like, what's his name in Aliens? The soldier who's the colonel who's never seen combat before.
Yeah, but even less capable.
But even less capable, yeah.
So then we'd have this like really awesome fight scene. And this is where we would see, like talking about before in the proposal scene, where they're just so well suited to each other. Like the kinetic energy, they just know where each other is, and they're like backflipping off each other, yeah. turning around. Like one person ducks, the other person cuts over the top of their head. Right. And so like they're making
poetry in motion.
Yeah, basically. And so they're making their way closer, but there's still too many zombies. And so like this point, Lydia Wickham have like climbed out the window and they're on the ledge. Darcy like makes a bit of a space and is like, okay, jump and I'll catch you. But then Wickham's also out on that ledge and a zombie hand like reaches for Wickham. And gets Lydia and like tries to chuck her, like
to feed her to the zombies.
Yeah, feed her to the zombies.
Oh, already. No sympathy for him now. This is what needs to happen.
Good. Yeah. So it doesn't work. Then the shift in the balance causes them both to fall off. But like Darcy runs and he manages to break Lydia's fall. But then Wickham falls off into like a big horde of zombies. And so you just like see him, like you hear him screaming. You see like a hand come out and a leg come out. And then like the hand and leg just kind of slowly get further and further apart.
Good. Oh, I love it. Oh, I love it.
So you'd have like, if Darcy would like maybe like try, because he's a good guy, would try and go after him. And
he could even grab a hand. And
yeah,
just
like maybe
and
he grabs like, oh. the hand.
And then there's like another part of him going that way. And he's like, okay.
Throws
the arm back into the pile.
Yeah. And so then Lizzie would, you know, pull him back, like, it's too late for him. We got to go. So they use a distraction of the fresh meat to.
Use
to
the
get
extra,
out.
That extra word. It's too, like, you see his piece is being carried away. It's too late for him.
Yeah, it's probably
that'll do. I love them fighting together and, like, it just being like, that they just fit in perfectly and it's great. Have them, like, fight together perhaps like earlier in the film or halfway through and it's not as seamless, and then so by the end of the film they've kind of like grown and developed together and stuff.
Well, that could happen at one of the ball they're at when the zombies attack the ball in the kitchen
and they get in the
they
way
get fighting and they're getting
in
the way, and then she's like, get out of my way, stop. Oh, you idiot, like I hate you. And then when you see them fight together like against one another, you start to see the
and you kind of watch it and you go, oh yeah, good, cool,
this is so much better. And we're only fixing one act.
Yeah, so like that would be a big climax, and you don't need this whole huge saving London and the bridge blowing up and jumping over the bridge. Like, just keep it small because we don't need that.
When that bridge blew up, how far did they fall? They fell like right down, right?
No.
They made it. They somehow made the jump.
You didn't see them make it though.
Well, you meant to think
they disappeared, and then there was the smoke, and then it cut to them on the ground. And I thought, hang on a second, did they fall all the way down?
No, they're on the other side of the bridge.
Like, they're always going to make it. I don't know whether to be like stupid film or stupid Sean for not.
Well, do you know
was
what?
It clear? I don't think it was.
I think it's a bit of column A, and I think it's a bit of column B.
A little bit of both story of my life.
Mm-hmm.
No, but that's good. That's
a weird story of your life, Sean.
That's me. That helps heaps.
It's just a lot clearer without the weird.
Yeah, take away the end of the world stakes and you make it more personal, and then that's like I get to the end of this film and they're fighting in London and I'm like, I don't fucking care.
I don't care about anyone.
If it's smaller, if it's personal and it's characters who, especially it helps if you get Aidan Turner and you care about the character a little bit, and then you're like, all right, cool, you care what happens.
He's also prettier, like from a purely aesthetic perspective. Sam Riley looks like a hanky, so
yeah.
And I feel like they didn't do him any favors in the film. I don't know about his hair.
All the blokes hair and he talks like this.
All the blokes looked quite pasty.
Yes, very pasty.
Except Wickham, who looks like Taika Waititi.
You can't get past that.
No. It got to a point where when he would appear, I was expecting like the character from What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah.
And I might even be like, this is what we do over here. And it didn't happen.
So if you like the film you watched was better than the one we watched.
Anytime he turned up, I was like, is that? No, it couldn't be.
So they manage to escape. They get back to the house. Everyone's really relieved and thankful for Darcy for saving Lydia. And then just because you need to have it, because Bingley and Jane need to have reconciled. So I imagine like Bingley kind of came back once he heard what was going on. He came back for emotional support with Jane.
Yep.
And you kind of see like maybe they're quite close, maybe even has like an arm around her. And I think you need to, like in this day and age, like Jane just can't accept Bingley back straight away. So easily. So I want to have a little scene where like maybe Lizzie pulls her aside, like, oh, what's going on with you and Bingley? And she's like, he apologized and everything, and I put a dagger to his throat and said, if you ever break my heart again, you won't live to tell the tale.
Yeah.
So something small like that. And so then, but we still need Darcy and Elizabeth to actually get together. So in the book, the very last scene is they go on this walk, and because she's refused his proposal, he doesn't want to kind of bring it up again, but he tells her essentially like, oh, my feelings haven't changed since that proposal.
Yep.
But if you feel the same, I won't ever mention it again. So in this kind of version, actually, like, there was a line in the film where Lizzie says, I shall never relinquish my sword for a ring.
And then that's when I went.
It was like,
good dialogue.
Yeah. And she says, for the right man, you would. And she said, the right man wouldn't ask me to.
Yeah, cool.
Right. So I want to, like, kind of have that in. So the end.
Use that again.
Yeah. So let's use that again. So at the end, instead of them just walking along the gardens, they're patrolling out on the estate, and they're just like, you know, pulling off dead zombies from all the spikes who've just like casually walked in there. So that's like they're, instead of walking romantically on a park, they're doing a patrol. He tells her his feelings haven't changed, and then offers her a dazzling dagger.
Yeah.
instead of a ring.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
This is the proposal. And so she happily accepts, and then like uses the dagger, stabs a zombie in the head, and then they kiss. And that's the end of the film.
And then credits.
And then credits. No stupid sting.
And then a sting where we see him, and all of him is clubs.
Yes.
Because all of his limbs have been torn off. So he's just like a series of axes and clubs, like running through the marshes of the halls.
Yes, so that's how.
I wish someone would give me a dazzling dagger.
Dazzling dagger. I just like the alliteration.
Harry Potter and the Dazzling Dagger. That just sounds like it would happen.
Bloody hell. Two tickets for that. And for this. That's an improvement. Like, honestly.
Pride and Prejudice, Zombies and Dazzling Daggers.
Yeah.
That's the sequel.
Title's a bit long.
No, good. That, I mean, the majority of this film is a train wreck, I think.
Yeah.
But that, like, even just fixing the stakes of it.
Well, that'll fix to the characters so much.
And just fixing him, like if you fix Darcy,
yeah, that
fixes so much of the film.
That's the thing, like, yeah, if you don't believe the romance in Pride and Prejudice, like how can you be on board for the film?
Yeah, that's quintessential to a romance film, is you like hanging on the edge of your seat because you want the two to get together. And in this, it's just like, fuck.
In this, you wanted to go with Wickham, even though he's a bad guy.
Yeah. And then, go with the bad guy who's infected instead of the film's stupid.
Even when they
character.
Kissed at the end, when they got married and kissed, I was like, "This is too much PDA."
He's so Bingley and Jane's kiss was a lovely, adorable kiss. Yeah. But he was eating her face.
Yeah,
he was
like tongue.
He went in for a nibble or two.
He was a zombie. Yeah,
that's the sequel.
Darcy's
that's how
actually
you pitch
a zombie.
This film.
Yeah, yeah.
Next film. Darcy turns into a zombie.
They kiss, and then as they're walking away, he just like rolls up his sleeve and looks at his, like, oh boy.
Yeah, that'll do. He's got a bit of Jorah Grayscale going there. Oh. He's checking the time.
Hey, what's the time? Oh, nearly dead.
If that was the sequel, like imagine the restraint you would have to have as a writer to not want to just kill him inside like the first scene. Just fuck him right off.
Oh.
Yeah, but I mean, Aidan Turner, that's a good fix. He's got charisma.
Yeah, James, that's
not,
a good fix.
He's not super pale. This guy. Yeah. He looks like he's alive, frankly.
Yeah.
Who was the other one? Theo James?
Theo James. And Sam Claflin as Bingley, yeah. Solves Bingley, who just looks like...
Yeah, good.
Looks like a guy who's like was in a boy band and then was in the OC and is now in this.
Yeah.
Who is that guy?
Who
plays
one?
Bingley in the... Besides shit.
I think he's mainly just an actor.
Like a terrible one?
Sorry, not an actor. I think he's mainly a model.
Like, sorry. Fuck?
Sorry.
Yes, no, he's appeared in such things as Calvin Klein and fragrances.
This film being terrible aside, how much, like, obviously it bombed at the box office. Yeah. How much of that do you think is just because...
It came out too late.
The Walking Dead is still booming along.
Yeah, but Walking Dead's garbage.
But are we sick of zombie stuff?
Yeah. I think so. I think it missed the boat.
In the same way that Vampire Academy missed the vampire boat,
yeah,
this missed the fucking zombie boat.
By like a couple of years.
I will say this though. I watched a film last week called Train to Busan, which is a Korean zombie film. And fuck me, is it just incredible.
Yeah, but I think
the aspect that you need to get right is make us care about the characters and tell a good story. And in this one, it was a kind of bland story. They didn't do enough to tweak the Pride and Prejudice element of it. They didn't have fun with it. And didn't give a shit about the characters. He gave a little bit of a shit about Lizzie, but I think that's more the actor.
Lily James did a really good job.
Yeah.
But otherwise,
she had to choke out some real bad dialogue.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
But yeah, you got to make – it's the same with any story. You have to connect with the characters. Otherwise, it's like, what the fuck am I watching? What's the point? Like, who cares? Those are the stakes. That's all you need to do.
Yeah.
And on that note, I've been Elise.
I've been Tom.
And I've been Sean.
And if you have any other fixes you'd like to offer for Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, you can contact us at sanspantsradio@gmail.com or tweet us at sanspantsradio, or you can get to us on our personal Twitters. I'm at Elise.
I'm at Awkward Treed.
And I'm at Sidekick of Dowie.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening. If you want to help support the show, why not become a member at SansPantsPlus.com and get early access to our shows, a bunch of exclusive content, and much, much more. That's SansPantsPlus.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.